Pastor Jeff on how to increase our faith.
Listen, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and that of the Word of God. So little faith can become great faith if it's in the Word of God. A lot of times little faith hears, but it doesn't apply it to life. In other words, Jesus said, I liken to the man that hears these things and doeth them not, as unto a man that builds his house on sand. Storms come, and that house is wiped out. That's the one who hears and doesn't do. And we know the opposite of that is the man that hears and does these things and applies the faith is like a man that builds his house on a rock. Storms come, and this man's house is sturdy. It stays.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Little faith can become great faith. We'll explain how in the minutes ahead on Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson is taking his time through the Sermon on the Mount due to its rich contents. And today we'll return to Matthew chapter 6 and learn how to increase our faith. No, it's not by self-effort, but it comes by the Word of God. If you need to leave this early, drop by sounddoctrineradio.org or go to oneplace.com. And now, here's Pastor Jeff with his message, Lord, Increase Our Faith.
The disciples requested of the Lord in Luke's Gospel, Luke 17:5, and they said, Lord, increase our faith. So really, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, our faith increasing. In the midst of this non-Christian secular world, with all of its cares, with the deceitfulness of riches, with the pleasures of this world, Jesus said in Matthew 13, these very things will choke out my word from your life if you're not careful. So he warns us about the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this world. We need to trust God, who is our Father. And therein is the key, isn't it? And that father-child relationship, and that's the bottom line right there. Do you have a relationship with God? Is he your Father? Have you received him, Jesus, into your heart so you can become a child of God? So he says, don't worry, be happy. And he gives us three things to overcome the distractions of this world. Remember the three things? Number one, you wouldn't think it would be one of the things he'd use, but he says, I want you to be a bird watcher. You say, what? Yeah, you need to watch birds. It's very important you watch birds. Then you won't be distracted by this world. The next thing he says, I want you to study flowers, the flowers of the field. Get interested in flowers. Check them out. Look at them. Study them. Look what God has done. And number three is here, and that is realize your need for more faith. For more faith. Remember verse 30? Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? And then he says, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. In other words, your faith is not sufficient. And remember, he's talking to Christians. These guys have already already received Christ as Savior. I mean, the Father, he says, your Father. Jesus made it clear. These are Christians. Those who have a relationship with God. And he says, oh, you of little faith. They had a measure of faith. They had a relationship with God. What you might call saving faith. But they lacked victorious faith. Remember, Paul said it like this, that we would be what? More than conquerors. walking as more than a conqueror in this life. So those with little faith are the ones that are plagued with worry and anxiety. They can trust God for salvation, but not for daily life. Before we talk about how to increase our faith, what I'd like to do is look at this word and what he's saying about little faith, so we can understand what little faith is, so when we get into increasing our faith, we'll know exactly what we need and how to get it. So verse 31, we continue. He says, therefore, and this is the second therefore in this chapter. He's repeating himself and saying, because of these things, and there'll be a third one later on in verse 34. So think about the things that we talked about, the birds and the flowers of the field. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And so what is Jesus doing here? But he's contrasting those with little faith, us this morning, if we have little faith, with the Gentiles. In other words, don't be distracted by the cares of this world. Don't be consumed about eating. And I know that as I go on this morning, some of you, your stomachs are going to start to growl and you're going to think, well, we could go over to, you know, Stocks, but we've been there. I don't want to go there today. We've done that. Maybe Mickey D's or, you know, the French restaurant, Jacques and Zeebolks, you know, and we can go over there, you know, but I've had that, done that, been there. And you start thinking about this. Here I am speaking about the things, you know, of heaven, of eternal life, and you're thinking about food. Not just will we be able to eat, but what are we going to eat? See, we are surrounded with a lot of decisions, choices. And then when you sit down, they give you a menu, and you're going, oh, man, look at all this stuff. I'm not ready yet. I'm still not ready yet, you know. And then not only what you're going to eat, but what you're going to drink. You want Diet Pepsi, you want orange, you want root beer, you want iced tea, you want sweetened tea, you want... And you're just going, ah, that's too many choices. And then all of a sudden you realize, well, if we're going to go out, what am I going to wear? That's the big question, you know. Concerned about the things that we, you know, just life and those things that hit us on a daily basis. And I think what he's saying here is don't allow daily life. You see, that's when somebody said something about, that's what's wrong with life. It's so daily. If it wasn't so daily, you know, I could handle it. But don't allow the cares of life to steal away God's abundant life that he has to give to us. You see, salvation is more than just going to heaven. Many Christians are born again, yet live defeated lives on earth, right here, right now. They're contending with life on a daily basis and just making ends meet. And it's a struggle. Oh, yes, going to heaven, yet living hell on earth. What's that all about, you know? That's wrong, man. That's not what he had plan for our lives. So he says, are you living life the same as a Gentile? Can they tell you at your job, at your school, are you different than those that you're hanging around with? Or are you just like every pagan, every heathen, talking about the same old things, worried about the same old things, concerned and consumed about the same old things? God's word is not priority. Really, what Job said is correct. He said, I've esteemed his word more than my daily food. Peter went on to say in 2 Peter 2:2 that we need to go after and desire the sincere milk of the word of God that we might, what, grow thereby. So we need to be having the passion and the concern and the desire as a baby going after the bottle. And you know what a baby will do if it wants the bottle? You've changed it. You know it's changed. And then it starts squalling, you know. What's wrong? Well, the baby's, I'm giving a bottle, you know. And when you put that bottle in that baby's mouth, you know, man, going for it. And he says the same thing about the word in our lives. Is that your passion? Is that what just your desire is just to know the Bible? To go after the things of God in the word of God? Or are you like the pagans that are everywhere? God's given us great or exceeding great and precious promises in his word. But if we're not standing on them, if we're not walking in them, then we have little faith. To believe him for eternity, but not for the temporal. And yet, Jesus said, and he was talking in Matthew 11, the end of the chapter there, he says, "Hey, you come, you that are laboring and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And yet to hold on to problems, to worry about things, is to carry a burden, isn't it? And the Lord's saying, just give it to me. If you don't give it to me, it'll crush you. It will bum you out. It will take the joy out of your life. And here you are, a Christian with no joy. That's a bummer. That's something wrong there. So Jesus says, I want to give you rest. I love it when he told that woman, that Samaritan woman, he says in John 4, "But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give to him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give to him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus said, you drink of the water I have, you'll never thirst again. Then he went on to say, "I am the bread of life. You'll never hunger again." But do we believe him? See, a lot of times we don't believe him. That we'll never thirst, we'll never hunger, that he's going to satisfy everything. That's little faith. You can't really say in your heart of hearts, "Well, I just believe God said it. I believe it. That settles it." And just hang in there, you know? You can't do that. Little faith. It affects and it applies to the whole of life. That's why it's important what Jesus is saying here. He says, are you mastered by your circumstances? Are you a victim of this world like the heathen are? Are you blown away by life instead of being above your circumstances? Instead of rejoicing in trials and tribulations, as the Bible says. Remember, the three Hebrew kids are just a great illustration for us, because as they were thrown into that fiery furnace, heated up seven times hotter, that the guys that threw them in burnt up immediately as they threw them in. They were instantly killed. And yet nothing was happening to the three. And yet Nebuchadnezzar said, "Didn't we throw three in? I see four." You see, Jesus is in the midst of our fiery trials. That's where he is. And as he's there, we're beginning to see and understand those fiery trials, that, hey, this is where it's at. In fact, the king had to call him out of there. They didn't want to leave the fiery trial. They wanted to be in there with Jesus rather than come out. He says, "Hey, you guys, come out of there." And they were just hanging around, you know, probably had shades on, said, "Hey, it's cool. We love it in here, man. What are you talking about? Come out." What a lesson for us. No, you're just grinning, you know, and just bearing it, you know. You're just making it in this world. Little faith. Little faith doesn't think. It just reacts and allows situations to beat you up, to pull you down. You get into this place of being hopeless and helpless in your situation. But Jesus says, think. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. And faith is very logical, isn't it? It's not something that's mystical and goosebump stuff. Did you feel that? Yeah. And faith is very logical. It comes through observation. It comes through deduction, thinking. Many just throw up their hands and say, I don't know. What can I do? There's nothing I can do. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. I'm really worried about it. What's going to take place? I don't know. And they're not thinking. And yet they live in defeat by not thinking. They lay awake at night and are anxious about many things. Maybe it's a person that you're dealing with and a hassle. And hey, I've been there. I've been there at nights just thinking, trying to figure it out in my own head. And the Lord's just saying, what are you doing? I'm just not able to sleep is what I'm doing. Hey, it might be, you know, a situation that you're coming up against. But the Lord says, hey, listen, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways. He'll direct your path. He'll bring it to pass, as we read in Psalm 37. He's able. Listen, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and that of the Word of God. So little faith can become great faith if it's in the Word of God. A lot of times little faith hears, but it doesn't apply it to life. In other words, Jesus said, I liken to the man that hears these things and doeth them not, as unto a man that builds his house on sand. Storms come, and that house is wiped out. That's the one who hears and doesn't do. And we know the opposite of that is the man that hears and does these things and applies the faith is like a man that builds his house on a rock. The storms come, and this man's house is sturdy. It stays. Some say, well, listen, I just look at the Bible as for those back then during that time, and oh yeah, there's some things that we can learn out of it, but really it's for the disciples back then, not for us today. Well, that's a lie from the enemy. Over in Romans chapter 15, Paul says in verse 4, and whatsoever things were written aforetime, talking about the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through patience, and I love this part, the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. This word that we have been given here is to comfort us, to give us hope in the midst of a hopeless situation. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus says, the words I speak into you, they are spirit and they are life, if you will hear. Little faith, I don't think, understands full salvation. Yes, he saved me, and that's about all that little faith holds on to. But it's more than he just saved me in the past. He is saving me now. He holds me now. And yet he's going to save me at that day. There's a full salvation. Meat and drink, things of the world, are not our problem. Why? Because he's our heavenly Father. He is going to take care of us. There's no worry. I love what Paul said in the church, or actually in his letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 1, verse 18. Let me read it to you. This prayer he has. He says, I pray that your eyes of understanding would be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling for your life, and that the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, how blessed you are, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power in us. I mean, it's incredible. And Paul's just saying, you guys, I wish you'd get it. That you'd really get converted, because then you're going to be able to strengthen your brethren. They're going to be able to be a light to this world. So what a powerful prayer. Jesus mentions that the grass, which is here today, it's gone tomorrow, it's burned up. But that's not so with us. We're eternal beings. We're going to live forever. He's called us, and we're destined for glory. He says over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And then over in Romans 8 verse 32, listen, he that spared not his son, his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I mean, what more could he give than his only son? But then how much more is he going to give us since he's already given us his son? What more does he have for us now, right now? And we miss that. You see, trials and trouble to the child of God only causes him to grow and to get stronger. James said it. We count it all joy when we enter into these trials because it builds endurance and patience in us. And so the child of God sees it as that. And he's not bummed by it. He just says, bring on the next one, you know? Lord, you know what I need. Let it take place. And you just begin to see the growth. You begin to see, wow, I'm on my knees more than I've ever been. This is good. Why are you on your knees? I'm going through it. Well, then it's good that you go through it if it gets you closer to him, huh? And so he allows us to go. And it, you know, our faith is being proved. Do we truly have faith? Then he proves our faith. He says we're to trust him. Why? Because he's chosen us. He's called us. He's elected us. He's set us apart. He's for us. Who can be against us? Abraham and Moses, they understood. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, they smiled at calamities. Others in the New Testament sang in a prison. We know them to be Paul and Silas as they were beaten up in the prison. See, the Bible says that he has numbered the hairs on my head. And I like what the Greek says. He's named every hair. And as I'm getting older, it's easier for him because I have less. But he's named every hair, just like he's named every star, the multitudes that are out. How intimate is he with me? His thoughts towards me are more than the sands of the sea. When I go down to the ocean and pick up a handful of sand and just let it run out. God is thinking about me. He loves me. He knows my every need. I can't worry. He's omnipotent. And that word omnipotent means, hey, he's all powerful. Remember over in Acts 4 and verse 24, they came to fellowship after being threatened with their very lives. They came into their fellowship, said, guys, we need to pray. And as they started the prayer, they said, God, you're the creator of the universe. You created the earth, the seas, and all that dwells therein. You see what they were doing? They were looking to the Lord who is creator. He's able. Now we bring our little prayer request to you, you know. You can handle this one, Lord. You made everything. How big is your God? The Lord says, be still and know that I am God.
Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine, and today we listen into his message, Lord, Increase Our Faith, just part of our study in Matthew. We'll hear more in a moment. Here's our toll-free number, which you can use to order this study on CD and other helpful resources from us. It's 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. We also house all of our Matthew messages online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Hey, how's your devotional life going these days? Could it use a kickstart? Allow me to recommend Daily Devotions with Calvary Chapel Pastors. This collection of daily devos will edify you as you read God's inspired word. You'll hear people of God pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. Authored by Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, Jeff Johnson, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Mike McIntosh, Don McClure, Joe Foch, and many more. Just give us a call at 800-353-7553. Or you can order it online through our e-store at sounddoctrineradio.org. Your financial support is not only needed at this time, but would be very much appreciated. Think of your donation as an investment in the lives of listeners all around the world, who make it their aim to build their lives on sound doctrine contained in God's Word. So thank you very much for linking arms with us. Go online to sounddoctrineradio.org and click Give, or call 800-353-7553. We'll end our time together in Ephesians. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
Over in Ephesians, again, Paul speaking here in chapter 3 and verse 20. He says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I mean, he's able. We bring our requests, and then he said, "Hey, don't worry. You gave it to the Lord." Do you remember Jesus? And he was tired, and his disciples, they were on one side of the Galilee, and he was going to get in a boat and go to the other side. So he said, "Guys, get in the boat. I'll get in with you." And as soon as he went down underneath in the area where you can, you know, lay out and sleep a little bit, he was out just like that. You know, he was just bushed. A long day of ministry, and just go, you know, when you get on that water, though, there's something about being on water and just kind of, oh, yeah, you know. You're out, especially if you're tired. And he went deep into sleep. Then they got out there in the middle of the Galilee and storm, man, 9-foot waves. It can happen because of the topography. It's not really a sea, the Sea of Galilee. It's a lake, but because of the winds and the high mountains, in a moment there can be 9-foot waves on this little lake. It can, you know, take a boat right down. And they were taking in water, and guys were running all over the place, and the boat was, you know, and everybody's jamming, and they're thinking they're gonna die, and they finally go, "Where's Jesus?" "Well, he's sleeping, man." "Well, get him up, man." So they get down there and wake up, you know, and He's looking ahead at what? He said, don't you care? We're going to die. He walks up in the top, looks what's going on, looks at their faces. They're all freaked out. He goes, oh, ye of little faith, I'm in the boat with you. You're all right? What are you freaking out about? And then he just went, shalom, and everything just calmed down. He goes, now, can I get some rest? And they thought for sure they were going to die. Where's your faith? Jesus is saying, apply it with this situation. That's why situations and circumstances come up in our lives, so we can relate our faith to that situation.
The rest of this helpful message coming your way next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,